Hello there, this is Mark, your fat friend from the Fat and Black Connection, and I'm here to tell you about Anchor. If you haven't heard about it, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Do me a favor and go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started on your very own. A good day, everyone. I am Mark, your fat friend. And there's no James. So, he's on the phone with me right now. We were just online. We were just talking, prepping before we start the show. And I noticed that his internet service seemed to be pretty spotty. And I mentioned, hey, maybe try switching to your hotspot or whatever. And I think he went to do that and he lost connection and hasn't been able to reconnect. And we're going on almost 10 minutes of this now. So rather than keep you all waiting, we're going to go ahead and start the show without him. Hopefully at some point he'll get in here and we can roll along with what we planned. But to start off the show, I had planned to do a little bit of a rant. Just because I feel like it's a new year, and I think it's important that we as the royal we as a society, that we take a step back for a moment to reflect on where we are. And I got to tell you, I am very frustrated with our society. We are 1 year into the presidential term of Joe Biden, with another 3 years to go, at least, right? He could get reelected if he runs, which hasn't been confirmed. But the fact of the matter is we're 1 year into a four-year term, and we're not even close to the halfway point, right? We're technically not even a quarter of the way in because it's still not the 20th. So what I want to say is this, that regardless of what your political affiliations are, whatever your feelings about things in society in general are, you're entitled to feel how you feel. And I don't want to take any of that away. But what I can't stand is when someone tries to push how they feel onto others. Because we're not all 100% right 100% of the time, even if we think we are. And again, you're entitled to your opinion. You know, if you think the sky is purple and you are steadfast in that, by all means, stand on that ground. But don't get upset with people that don't agree with you. It's not going to change their mind, and it's not going to make the situation any better. And part of the reason that I bring this up is that people make mistakes. People say things that get misinterpreted, or maybe they're not even misinterpreted. People say things that offend other people. It happens. I am sure at some point on this show, I have said something that has offended someone, and I'm not sorry for that. I am who I am. I have my own beliefs. I feel how I feel, and I can't change that. But what I can do is try to not force you to agree with me. And I will never try to do that. I will never try to say, my beliefs are right, you must believe in what I say. And I would hope that in turn, you as our listeners, our viewers, those that enjoy this show, can try and give us that same grace. Don't force your beliefs onto us. And don't, you know, hate us for our beliefs. Because we are who we are. You are who you are. And the reason that this kind of comes to a head is we recently had posted something about an upcoming show that we're kind of interested in seeing. And someone had made a comment about, how can you watch that? You know, did you know that this person that's involved with that said this? okay, you know, people say stupid stuff all the time. But because one person said something stupid doesn't mean that I should completely hate everyone involved with this production, let's say. You know, it has come out that, you know, Hamilton was not as good of a guy as he seems to be portrayed to be in the musical Hamilton, right? Since Hamilton the musical came out, there has been new data that has shown that likely he was a slaveholder. But that doesn't mean that what Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote is bad. Doesn't make Lin-Manuel Miranda a terrible person. We have new data. We have new information that he didn't have when he wrote the show, right? So I'm not going to sit here and say he needs to go back and rewrite the show to accurately reflect these facts. It was what it was at the time that it was created and presented. And that's not to say that stuff that is bigoted, that is hateful, should continue to be pushed in front of us. By no means. But if the intent of the creator was to present a show based on the information and facts that they had at the time, and now with the lens of time looking at it today, if it's still a good piece of art and it's still something enjoyable that doesn't deviate in an intentionally harmful manner, let it go. And so to that point, to the specific, this is about the Harry Potter reunion special that was done by, I believe, Cinemax, and was on it's on HBO, their streaming platform. And I have watched it. I've taken it in. And honestly, I think that it's quite enjoyable. You know, I am not going to try and pretend that I'm some huge Harry Potter fan, that I read all of the books. I enjoyed the films. I watched the films. I don't feel that this cast was due a reunion special. Yeah, it's been 20 years since the first film released. Not 20 years since the last film. So, yeah, I find it a little weird that they're getting this reunion special already. But it was good. You know, it wasn't anywhere close to as entertaining as like the Friends reunion special or even the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion special, but it was enjoyable for what it was. You know, it was an hour and 45 minutes or so of nostalgia, if you will. Is it even nostalgia if it's not even 20 years, the majority of the stuff? I don't know. But we do have Black on the line, so we're going to go ahead and bring him in. We are getting some feedback.
Yeah, I'm going to turn that off right now. Sorry about
Perfect.
That.
Perfect. Great. So, hi, how are you? So, welcome to the show. Let's just keep going. I hope you were paying attention.
No,
I've
definitely been
about.
Paying attention. And yes, I agreed wholeheartedly with what you're saying. So just keep going.
You know, an individual did make their comments that, you know, J.K. Rowling had made some disparaging comments about some people at some point, which, whether true or not, to me, those comments were made in the last 2-3 years. This reunion special is 20 years in the making. So therefore, that means the movie came out 20 years ago, the first movie, right? Long before these comments were made, right?
The books way before that.
Correct. So any of these comments that were made are long since even the last film was made. Mm-hmm. So whether you agree with J.K. Rowling, disagree with J.K. Rowling, you're entitled to your opinion, your beliefs. I'm not going to hold those against you. If you want to not support her future endeavors or anything like that, again, I totally get all that. But why blame Daniel Radcliffe, who's in this reunion special, right? Why refuse to watch this special that he's in when he's actually come out and said that he disagrees with her?
Yeah, actually, and him, Emma Watson, I think Rupert Grant, I think mm-hmm. all three of them have actually, you know, said we don't agree with her whatsoever on this subject. So
right. And even if they hadn't, even if they hadn't, even if they had said nothing,
it's not on them.
No, that her comments are not their comments.
Yeah.
Her comments are
they reflect her, not us. Yeah.
They don't reflect Warner Brothers. They don't reflect the Wizarding World. They don't reflect Fantastic Beasts and that have come out since then. They reflect her personal opinions at the time that she made those comments.
Right.
And so to me, I'm not going to say I won't watch this special because I disagree. Even if I did disagree with her, I'm not going to hold that against anyone else. And to then look at you or I, fat or black, and think that because we're going to watch this, that that means we support J.K. Rowling's position. You're stupid.
Nah.
If that's what you really think, that us wanting to enjoy something that has nothing to do with what the issue that you're bringing up, if you think that us wanting to watch this supports her opinion, either way, you're stupid. And that's my opinion. And, you know, I'm not trying to be mean, but it's the reality. You know, I'm not going to not enjoy this show. And I did enjoy it. I watched it and I enjoyed it. Simply because the author made what some people perceive to be bad comments.
Right. I'm going to enjoy it. Okay. If it's something like outrageous, like, you know, like, you know, R. Kelly, like, I mean, I cannot support anything new. If R. Kelly was to put something new out, I probably couldn't support it. But, you know, I'm not gonna lie. I might get some flack, but that remix to Ignition, still hot, bro. Still hot.
And we do have Steven checking in with a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, man. You know, we haven't been on since before Christmas. So we did wish everybody a Merry Christmas before we signed off last time.
Right.
But Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's to everyone. So I don't want to go into any of the specifics about this special just because it's a reunion special. They reminisce on the movies and their time doing them. Yeah. And it's enjoyable. Yes, it is nice to be able to sit there and think, hey, all of these people are over 18. So
they were children when they started this thing.
Yeah, I will, as I made the comment earlier, it is not as good as the Friends reunion special or the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion special.
Well, yeah, I mean, I also, like you said, it was 20 years since the first film. I mean, like, maybe if it had been 20 years after the last film, then maybe or whatnot, but it's all good.
Yeah, but it was enjoyable. But to go back to my rant for just a minute, again, we're 1 year into a 4-year presidential term, and I am tired of seeing the vitriol, the hate from both sides towards each other. My personal beliefs, my personal political philosophies aside, I cannot stand what I'm seeing. And I couldn't stand it the last 4 years either during Trump, again, from both sides. It's not a one-sided affair. It's not a one-sided issue. And we're never going to move forward until we start to accept what we can. I'm not saying you have to like everything that you know, the other side of the aisle believes. I'm not saying that you have to be 100% on board. But the reality of the situation right now is that we have a president that has one set of beliefs and philosophies that you may or may not agree with. And you've got to make your peace and accept that for at least the next 3 years, this is what it is. Taking every day and just trying to tear him up personally apart or what he does apart is not going to make anything any better. I don't agree with everything he says. I don't agree with everything he does. He has made terrible comments earlier in his political career. If we looked at the lens of time and look back at some of the things he said, he said terrible things. The last president said terrible things. You know, that I don't know. I'm so frustrated with our society as a whole that it's believe what I believe or you're wrong and I hate you. Like, no. Even you and I, right? There are many, many times where we talk about stuff and we don't necessarily agree.
No.
And it's okay. Yeah. It's not like just because we don't agree, I'm going to hang up on you or I'm going to say, you know what, we're done doing the show. No, we're not going to agree 100% of the time on everything. No. And if we did, that would be disconcerting. Boring.
Yeah. And the thing is that, I mean, this also comes back to, I was reading an article where Patton Oswalt was apologizing to people because he took a picture with Dave Chappelle, who is his friend. They have been friends for 34 years. And he posted a friend with Dave Chappelle from New Year's Eve because Patton Oswalt apparently had a show and like right down the road, Chappelle was doing a New Year's Eve show. So he hit up Patton and was like, hey man, I'm right down the street. Why don't you come, you know, do a surprise set? And Pat was like, yeah, it's New Year's Eve. I want to be with, you know, I can be with a good friend. And he goes down, he posts a picture of it. He posts a picture of him and Dave on Instagram. And all of a sudden, what he wanted turned out to be just people hating on him because he took a picture with Dave Chappelle because of what Dave Chappelle stands for. Patton even says, Dave and I do not agree on the whole transgender thing. And that's fine. We are friends. We've been friends. We grew up in comedy together. 34 years. And then people all of a sudden, because just recently people have become so quote unquote woke, you're going to hate on a man just for being with his friend? Yeah, they don't agree on the same thing. And Dave Chappelle is growing. Like he's still a man in his own process, growing to understand things. And I think Mark and I talked about this beforehand, is that his last special that everybody's been ragging on because, oh, it's transphobic and everything else. I didn't look at it like that.
Well, you're not a trans person, James, so you don't understand.
That's possibly I don't understand that. But what I'm saying is that I think people just need to listen to the entire special. Like,
So don't take one line out of context.
Because that's what I think people have done, is they've taken this comedy special, which I found was one of his best, you know, because he said he's probably going to step away for a while. And if that's the way you're going to step away, cool, because that was a high note, I feel. And the thing is that a lot of people have ragged on it. People have, there was some director, producer, somebody who's like, I'm not going to work with what Netflix anymore because they're not pulling the Chappelle special, so on and so forth. And it's like, brother, you're going to throw away, you know, you're going to throw away these other things because of one man and one network he's putting his work out there. And yes, you may not agree with everything he says, but if you listen to his entire thing, I don't think it's transphobic in the least.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a trans person, so obviously I can't understand necessarily what their struggle is. Just like I'm not a Black person, I can't understand what your guys' struggle has been.
Right, and that's the thing, is that we talked about that. You actually, during the Derek Chauvin trial or verdict reading, and we talked about this, so this was, you know, kind of early in our podcast career, but we talked about that stuff. You asked me specifically, what are some things that I've experienced? And like I said, I have been lucky enough to not really have as many problems. But what I'm saying is like, you know, like you actually asked. And so I was able to respond. So you can kind of understand a little bit more.
We have a comment from one of our viewers, Tyrus, that trans person that led the protest at Netflix ended up having anti-Asian jokes all over their Twitter, thus the whole campaign falling flat.
I didn't know about that part, but
I hadn't heard about that. And that, again, that's the irony, right?
Yeah.
We find this time and time again, where somebody comes out trying to be a champion of some cause. And then you do research and find out that they're actually a bigot in some other way.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we've talked about this before. James and I both do theater. I was involved in a musical that's probably today looked at as some terrible non-PC show. And it's okay, because that's what its intent was, Avenue Q, where there's a song called Everyone's a Little Bit Racist. And it's an enjoyable song. And it's kind of true to an extent, right? I mean,
we all have our things, you know, they might not be like super hard, like, oh, I hate this person, but it's like, you know, I see that it's more stereotypes than anything. And some of those stereotypes are very much true.
And also, people might not even realize that they have stereotypes.
That's true.
It just,
or bias, if you will. Yeah. It's just underlying. I mean, it happens.
You and I were brought up in a time where the gay struggle was real, right? You know, that a person being a homosexual was not celebrated. You wouldn't see them on TV shows. You wouldn't see them having their own shows, things of that nature. You know, it's clearly today a different thing. That doesn't make you or I a terrible person for living during that time, right?
No, it's just something we grew up with. We had to learn. I mean, I think as younger people, we realized, okay, you know, this is something that we're going to have to deal with. I'm not going to hate these people because of they like men, or it's a man who likes another man, or a woman who likes another woman. I'm not going to not like these people. I don't understand it, but at the same time, it's not for me to understand. That's them, you know, like I can do my best to, you know, be friendly and talk to them and, you know, build a rapport. Maybe it would help me understand who they are, but I'm not going to hate somebody just because of the choices they make. Like like they make like some seriously horrible choices. Yeah. Then I might not like that person, but just because of your sexual orientation, bro, it's not worth it, man. Like you said, we do theater. If we didn't like gay people, there's no way we could do theater.
Yeah, absolutely. And Steven, you know, it's all perspective. I had no issue with Dave Chappelle's message in his last special. However, I do feel like with the last couple of specials, he seems to just be beating a dead horse, which is understandable in the circumstances of everyone tearing his last few specials apart. But at a certain point, he needs to move on and let the joke go, because we all know society ain't going to do it. And I agree with you, Steven. I think Dave is, unfortunately, to an extent, playing into it a little bit. But I also think, out of the other side of my mouth, that he has the right to defend himself.
And I think that's kind of what he's ended up having to try and do is truly defend himself.
I don't know that his comedy show platform is the right place to do that. Especially when Dave Chappelle has the bully pulpit. Everybody wants to hear what Dave Chappelle has to say, regardless of what you think about him. If he's doing a special, or if he's going to be on a TV show or something, you're going to watch. He has that it factor, if you will, that people want to see what the guy's going to do or say. And so I don't think he needs to waste time on his own comedy specials to do that. And Tyrus chiming in as well. I always have questioned how Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the creators of South Park, or Seth MacFarlane, creator of Family Guy, gets away with racially charged jokes, yet others aren't. I say it's all comedy. If you don't like it, don't watch it. I agree 100%.
Comedy's not for everybody. Comedy is not for everybody. Like, there's some comedians that I can absolutely listen to. I have satellite radio, and so there's a channel that I listen to that has clips from Netflix specials and stuff like that. And some of them I can listen to, and I even if it's stuff I've heard already, I still laugh. There's others that as soon as I hear them, I gotta change the channel, because I it's something about, I guess maybe just the sound or whatever, but there's some I can't listen to. So yes, there are, and there's some people that could probably, that And you know, you clearly, there's people that were there and who saw the specials and probably left. So, you know, like, yeah, exactly. Everybody's comedy tastes are different. Like, there's some women that I know that can't stand women comedians. There's some people I know that can't stand different comedy. So, like, I enjoy a lot of comedy. There's some that I don't. So, yeah, everybody's different. We all like different stuff. Like, I hate horror movies. I know some people that love horror movies. So everybody's taste is different. We need to get over that.
Yeah,
that.
I don't get those weirdos who enjoy like anime, like Dragon Ball Z. It's not for me, right?
Right. And there's some anime that I absolutely enjoy. So it's a thing. It's entertainment. Choose what you want to enjoy. If yes. you don't like Dave Chappelle, then don't watch Dave Chappelle. If you think Dave Chappelle's transphobic, don't watch him. And then at that fact, don't make comments after you hear little clips of it, because you're not watching the whole thing. And yeah, that's
it's called the echo chamber, right? You're hearing one thing and you're just feeding the chamber.
It back. Yeah. And it's just like, if you don't like it, you don't have to. Let's move on.
And yes, Tyrus, that comment was specifically for you.
Yeah.
I could have chosen any random anime. I chose Dragon Ball specifically for you. And I have tried to watch Dragon Ball. I really have. Actually, over the years, I've tried to go back.
Steven brings up
a good
point too, Mark, real quick. Have you watched the Visions?
I did. It's kind of like Animatrix, right? There were some
that were good, and there were some that
Yeah, I don't know. It's something about the animation style for me is just hard for me to watch.
It's like how I can't watch the new Mickey Mouse. Like, well, at least I guess they're revamping some of the Mickey Mouse cartoons, but those ones that they did like a couple years back, where it was kind of
almost in the style of Ren and Stimpy, or
I loved Ren and Stimpy when I was a kid, but I did not like this animation. I guess maybe I may have been a little older, and so I don't know if my animation tastes have gotten more sophisticated, but
I think it's because they're taking Mickey Mouse and doing that with it.
Yeah.
I mean? I think if it was something else, maybe you wouldn't have looked at it that way. I watched them as well. You know, I've got a little kid and, you know, we watched every single episode. There's quite a few of them. There's like 100 of them or something.
Oh, really?
And some of them are really enjoyable, honestly. But yeah, the animation style to me is a little hard to get used to. So I do want to move on. I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about our fantasy football league because it is over. It has ended. We have results in, and we have a winner. It's not me.
Oh, hurting.
Yeah. So, James, you finished in seventh, which, you know, you were in ninth.
Yeah.
So the playoffs helped you out, helped you move up two spots.
Absolutely. Dug myself out of a terrible hole.
Yeah. I finished in third. I lost the first round of the playoffs. Yeah. Unfortunately, I made a bad choice. I should have started Tom Brady and I didn't. I also had a terrible defense, so that kind of crippled me. So
sounds
I ended
like
up losing
to me.
No excuse. I made bad choices.
I'm just kidding.
It's
I'm
not an excuse. Yeah. I chose poorly. No. You know what? I will. This is an excuse. This is not an excuse. This is the truth. I listened to my wife. I said, who do you think I should start for my QB? And she told me to go with who I went with instead of going with Tom Brady. And I said, all right. And I listened to her. So I blame her 100%. Because if I had started Tom Brady, I would have won that, and I would have gone to the finals this last week. And based on my scores, I would have won. And so I would have been the champion. Yeah. So I'm glad. I mean, out of one side of my mouth, I'm disappointed that I didn't win. Out of the other side of my mouth, how rigged would that look?
If you had won?
Yeah. I'm the commissioner, and I somehow won.
That would have been crazy. Yes.
So for those of you that don't know, the winner of our league is Steven's girlfriend, I believe. So he's taking the credit. He's saying, look at that champ. She must have had a great GM to bounce her questions off of. And he also says it's funny because his wife, quote unquote, listened to me. So blame me for losing to Bonnie. Well, so he's taking the credit.
Yes, sir.
And we have our dam finally checking in, Brian, who finished in fifth. So
yeah,
good job, Brian. You finished at the top of the bottom. So hey, for a guy who had an auto draft team,
yeah,
and has never done fantasy football before,
yeah,
to finish in fifth, that's pretty good. So
lost to him twice.
Congratulations, Brian.
Yeah, no, and Brian, thank you for being there, bro. Like you were there then, you know, you were there for that. So you actually,
I will point out though, what we're showing on the screen right now does show the regular season results, where you can see that I was 12-3 with the most points.
Right.
So just want to call that out.
Doesn't always matter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, right? Because the winner of the league had an 8-7 record, where the two teams that had 12-3 did not end up winning. So it's the same thing. We see it occasionally in all sports where a wild card team ends up winning, you know, outright, winning the championship. So, you know, good on Bonita. So, bad on us, especially you.
Well, you know, hey, like I said, I moved up. And I was happy about that.
Yes, you did indeed move up. We did have a mention a couple moments ago about the Animatrix. And I wanted to take a couple of minutes to talk about The Matrix
Resurrections.
So I know I had the opportunity to watch this pretty much on release date. When did you watch it, James?
I watched it a couple days after, I think. Okay. Whenever you called me up and was like, hey, have you seen this? And I was like, oh, I forgot it was totally out. And so I stopped what I was doing. I watched it. And I was like, okay. I mean, it wasn't like great, but there was parts of it I found enjoyable. Like, I mean, like it was like some of the action stuff. I mean, that's pretty much what I enjoyed the most. I was kind of confused by the whole story. I mean, not confused, but some of the story just didn't really connect for me. But I mean, overall, it was an enjoyable movie. I'm actually glad I was gonna wait and see it in theaters. I'm actually kind of glad that I watched it at home instead, you know, saving me a little bit of money. But yeah, no, I mean, it was what it was.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. I'm glad I watched it at home. I'm glad I used HBO Max. I don't think that I needed to see it in the theater. I think that it was fine. It was, I think I said it to you when we talked about it before you saw it, that I don't think it was necessary. Yeah. I think that the original trilogy was fine without this. I don't think that this made the trilogy any better. I don't think that it makes the Matrix universe, quote unquote, better.
It didn't really do anything to enhance it.
No, I mean,
the only thing that we found out, apparently, like Zion has fallen or something, apparently. And So
there's just too much to me that was not left unanswered. We got Bonita checking in, by the way, the champ of our
champion.
The champ is here.
Wait, Brian, can you elaborate? So folks are comparing this to episode 7. I mean, I guess I could see that.
I guess the biggest thing for me was at the end of the film, I didn't feel like it was leaving it open for a sequel. So I felt like,
why did you even make it if you're just going to kind of leave it at this and just, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt unnecessary. It felt like it was Warner Brothers wanting to make some money off of nostalgia,
and I think they actually put little jokes in there about that too. I feel like,
oh, they weren't little jokes. It was deliberate, like beat you over the head. Like it was, you know, our parent company, Warner Brothers,
wants us to make this game, and yeah,
it was deliberate. It was obvious. Tyrus calls out, it was nostalgic, but not the same. But mm-hmm. I blame Warner Brothers forcing Lana Wachowski to make the movie like they forced Neo in the movie. It was a, we're doing another movie with or without you. So it was rushed and it showed. And I agree. It wasn't bad. I think there were some things that were kind of like, oh, that's cool. Or
yeah, it was pretty much interesting. It was a lot of, I'm not Morpheus, but I'm Morpheus. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I guess. I mean, it was nice to see. They had actually aged, what's her name? Niobe. They had actually, you know, she became a leader. Then she was kind of the head of this new colony that they created, and it was good. So it was good to see her back in the movie. So,
yeah, I thought it was fine. I will probably go watch it again just to see, did I miss something? Cause I'm not going to lie, I didn't give it 100% of my investment of me, which I probably could have or should have, kind of like what you did with Squid Game. So I'll probably go back and watch it again and try to give it 100%, just to see if maybe I missed something, but everyone else seems to be, agreeing with what we're saying. So I don't think I'm wrong. And,
Neo looked like John Wick. Well, I mean, it is the same guy and it is the same. Well, it's a little bit of different action, but yeah.
Well, and originally, I don't know if you knew this, but originally, this movie and John Wick 4 were both supposed to come out at the same time. Same date, actually. So
that would have been hilarious. Competing against himself.
Yeah. But they pushed back John Wick 4. I'm not sure when that's coming out, but coming.
I think it's on the I think it was on that list that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was. I don't remember when it is, though.
It's on our Facebook page. You can look that up.
Yeah, I don't feel like it. So
I'm saying if you want to see when that's supposed to come out, you can go look at our Facebook page. The calendar's up there. So anyway.
Oh, not me.
Not you, but I'm telling you, anybody else who's out. Yeah.
Gotcha. So.
Hey. Yes. I just had something. I found this article the other day. Actually, just last night, a matter of fact. And apparently there were twins that were born recently. And they have two different birthdays because one was born at 11:45 on December 31st, 2021. And his sister was born 15 minutes later at midnight on January 1st, 2022. So they are twins born 15 minutes apart and have two completely different birthdays.
Two different birth years, even.
And two different birth years, yes.
Because I'm sure that they're not the first twins to be born that overlap.
Have that issue. But yeah, like I'm saying, like I saw that. And like I said, I think the headline was what caught my eye. And the headline was very deceiving the way it read. I can't find the headline again, but I just kind of took a clip art of the screenshot of that little piece of the article. So that's kind of interesting. I've never seen a story about that before. So,
and that's what they call clickbait.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of things out there today that I see where the headline is like, oh, I got to read this. And then you start reading it and it has
or like the ones that they say, oh, this person did this and they changed their life or whatever. And it's like, all right, cool. And so I click on it. And then it's like giving me this whole backstory. I'm like, bro, I don't need all this. Just give me the story that you're saying. Like, what did he do? Like, I don't care about what they did 10 years ago, or and then it led to this, and then it led to this, and then they did this, and it has nothing to do with the other piece. I'm like, what was the point of this? But I read I've read the whole article, though. I guess that they got what they wanted.
Yeah, I don't know. And so speaking about this kind of stuff, I do think it's important that we take a moment to remember the life of Betty White.
Oh, man.
That was rough. That bro, was rough on New Year's Eve.
Come on, bro. Like,
just shy of her 100th birthday.
Which would be in a few more, it's like, what, next week? Because the 17th, I think it was.
17th or 18th, yeah.
Yeah, and like, there all the articles, like there was like three different magazines that I think, or like even I think there was National Enquirer had her on there. There was like the People, Betty turning 100, and all this other kind of stuff. And actually, like, and the weird part, bro, she was number three in a line because it was Madden. It was Madden.
Yeah,
you know who you made a post about and. The only reason I really understand football is thanks to Madden football games on from EA Sports. And then
it's in the game.
The leader from Africa, I can't remember his name. He passed like a couple days, like a little while after that.
Yeah, it's
and then yeah. Betty White. And so like I was, and that
I
one.
I mean, Harry Reid, he was the House Majority Leader in the Senate, and
oh yeah, from, he's laid to rest. He just recently
from the great state of Nevada. Also, you know, 2021 just wanted to take as much with it as it could, I guess.
Why'd you take the good ones?
Yeah, why couldn't they just take you? No, it's you know, I went back and rewatched. Yes, we also lost Stephen Sondheim in 21. That was a huge loss.
Dang, I didn't realize that one.
Yeah. I went back and watched Golden Girls not that long ago, maybe a year or two ago, and I didn't watch it growing up as a kid. I mean, I watched an episode here or there because somebody else will be watching it, and it's actually a quite an enjoyable series if you know can get. Over the fact that these are all 50, 60 year old women, yada, 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 especially dealing with some of the stuff, you know, from a sexual nature, it's kind of like,
ah, grandma.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, but they still got needs, bro. Still got needs. So, I mean, moving on. Like I didn't watch it like, you know, sit down and always watch it every week or whatever. But I mean, I watched, you know, I maybe watched a few weeks in a row or whatever, but I enjoyed Golden Girls. It was a funny show. They had, you know, all the characters were quite enjoyable at times. And so it was just a good show. And then actually, you know, the first thing I saw Betty White in after Golden Girls was a little film called Lake Placid, where she said some, very off color, had some off color lines in there, and I was like, oh, Betty White, no. but then to learn you know, through like theater classes and stuff like that, that Betty White was actually kind of raunchy, like in her, like she would have been considered kind of raunchy for her time. Like she would say some off color things. So
blue, they call it blue. She was blue.
Yeah
And I'm glad you brought up John Madden, because I wanted to call him out as well. You know, I agree with you 100%. What I know of football today is because of John Madden, not just the video games, but also listening to him on Monday Night Football. And, you know, I definitely could say I would not enjoy football today if not for him. So,
yeah, like I said, I enjoyed football, like, because I had friends that were really into football and my dad would watch football, things like that. But like, it wasn't until, you know, I actually had, I was playing one of the Madden games years ago when I finally started to understand, oh, okay, this is how this game works. Got you. That's kind of really what taught me some of the rules of the game. So like now I can look at when I see a flag thrown, I can kind of see, okay, that this is what the call is. I can even sometimes call it before it even, you know, is called on the field, things like that. So,
well, and also if not for him, I wouldn't know anything about boom, tough acting to Tenactin.
Boom. I haven't seen that stuff out. I haven't really looked for it because I don't need it.
I'm sure it still exists.
Boom.
So going from one heavy set white guy to another heavy set white guy, let's talk about Hawkeye.
Well, I mean, the other heavy set white guy being the Kingpin.
That's right. Kingpin, who finally made his emergence in episode 5. In a lot of episode 6, the season finale, series finale, if you will. What did you think of the Hawkeye series overall?
I found it very enjoyable. This kind of race to make it home for Christmas was he promised his kids he'd be home for Christmas. And so it was kind of this whole, I have to help her. I got to figure this whole thing out. Got to keep myself alive. And I got to get home to my wife and kids for Christmas, which I think was cute. I mean, but yeah. I mean, overall it was kind of, I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. There was some episodes that I liked more than others, of course, but overall it wasn't horrible, horrible.
I thought it was fine. I felt like, you know, looking at the other series this year, that Marvel Studios brought to us, I still think WandaVision was the best.
WandaVision.
Loki was the second best. What If was the third best. Falcon and Winter Soldier. And I think Hawkeye was the worst.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I think that Loki and WandaVision, like that both of those shows, I think, set almost a ridiculous high standard for. they really set a ridiculous high standard. I actually liked Falcon and Winter Soldier a little bit more than What If, but I did very much enjoy What If.
Would agree that this, out of the 5 series that,
this definitely was the one that was the least. The one thing that I was really glad about was that they actually gave, you know, Hawkeye, who was a character that's been there since, you know, Thor, they kind of really, it was really focused on him and his kind of, it was almost a redemptive story for him after the whole Ronan thing and losing Natasha and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, I don't know. I felt like the series was unnecessary. All it did was help to introduce us to Kate Bishop. It gave us a little bit more of a view of Yelena. It introduces Echo, which, you know, I believe she's going to have her own series this next year. And we got to see the swordsman. Yay. And of course the best part of the entire series was Kingpin, which even that felt a little bit disappointing. According to Tyrus, Kingpin in his Hawaiian shirt reminds me of Mark back at Ohlone. Spoilers. I'm happy the Netflix characters are canon now because of Hawkeye and Spider-Man.
I don't think all the Netflix characters are. I think it's just at least as of now, it's only those two. So we'll see what they do with the others.
I assume that it means everyone that was in the Daredevil series likely is going to be canon, which hopefully also means Punisher.
Yeah, that's true.
But we'll see.
I did like that Punisher though.
Yeah, I enjoyed Kingpin in the Netflix series. I felt like it was a very similar character in Hawkeye, but there was some tweaks that weren't.
Yeah.
It made it a little different.
they cleaned him up a little bit. The whole thing that that dude can walk away from an explosion, that's definitely Kingpin-esque. That was...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like,
what the...
I mean, on a strength level and everything, you know, he's off the scales. So him taking an arrow to the chest, not surprising. Him getting shot, likely. We don't see it, but getting shot, likely. By Echo at the end of the episode, I'm sure he's fine.
Oh, can I just say, I didn't really need, like, I watched it all, but that whole musical thing at the end, oh my goodness. I thought it was going to be so, like, they were like, happy season's greetings, and then they showed me that, and I was like, oh. Okay.
I would have, so we kind of talked about this the other day when we talked about the trailer for Doctor Strange 2 at the end of Spider-Man, which came out a week later. I would have preferred for that trailer to be its own thing and there to be an actual post-credit scene in Spider-Man. Similarly, yeah. I feel like Marvel could have released this scene as its own like one-off thing, as like a Christmas gift to Marvel fans or whatever, and had a true post-credit scene at the end of Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I'm not like, sure what they're doing there, what they're going for, but I agree. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was cute.
Yeah.
Theater guys. So
there's a part of me that actually kind of wants to see that musical just a little bit, but
yeah.
But I was like, oh, this is a little, this, I mean, we didn't see the whole thing in the actual series itself, but you know, we saw like the little clip of it in the series. And I think that was good enough for me, honestly.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. But is what it is. I would say from like a rewatchability standpoint, I will likely never go back and rewatch Hawkeye.
There's episodes I might rewatch, but that's about it.
I feel like it's a series that you have to watch the whole thing. I don't know. I guess I don't see how you could just watch a one-off, but you know, you're special. So
they're like just certain fight things. Anyways, I think we got, oh, bro. Book of Boba Fett, bro. Yeah.
So we got our first episode of Book of Boba Fett last week. I think for me, the one thing that I have to say about the episode is thank you for explaining
how he
what
got
happened
yeah,
inside after he fell into the Sarlacc pit.
Yes. We talked about that because that's what... otherwise, you don't know. You're like, how did he...
Because they could have very easily just said, we're not doing it, and just, he's there, suck it up and deal with it. But they didn't. Right. They gave us what we wanted, which I appreciate very much.
Showed us how he got out. Show us actually... And then, because, you know, the first time... We were reintroduced to him was back in The Mandalorian. So he lost his armor. He had apparently, you know, Mando had come across this armor and was able to recover it and was able to then give it back to Boba Fett. But like how he lost his armor was...
I didn't know.
Jawas. It's always Jawas.
Yes.
That was the way they surrounded that man and just jacked him. They
knocked him out.
Yeah, jacked him and then bam, knocked him out and then just left him. I was like, bro, these little things are... Yeah, he got jacked. And then, you know, him then being, you know, having to deal with the sand people and all that kind of stuff, that was, you know, that was awesome.
I thought it was interesting seeing the sand people more in depth, getting a better feel for who they are as a society and how they operate.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like there are probably different tribes, and he ended up getting caught in with this one particular tribe of sand people. But
we're going to see more of that.
Yeah. And I think there's a definite dynamic between, you know, with them sending this young kid out, and he has to, you know, prove himself, you know, as kind of a, I guess, a man, if you would. And I know that kind of stems from, I know there were some Like there's some cultures that do that. I know that I think there are some Native American cultures that you have to go out into the wilderness and you know, you have some things that you have to accomplish while you're out there. So, you know, I really enjoyed that, seeing this other side of not this bounty hunter, but this guy basically just trying to survive and then helping this kid who essentially was his captor for, you know, so I was like, okay. I see you.
Yeah. I thought it was a good opening episode. I am curious to see where it goes, considering the way that Boba is trying to lead as the crime lord on Tatooine. It's very different than clearly what people are used to. Also, who's attacking him?
Yeah.
We don't know. I assume we'll find out soon. I thought it was a good opening episode that gave us as fans some answers. Mm-hmm. And it also raised some questions.
Yeah, and I mean, so, it's you know, it's seeing him when he actually is, while he's in this chamber, you know, being, you know, because just helping himself heal, he's having these flashbacks and stuff. And that is very entertaining, to see these flashbacks of what he went through I'm assuming it's going to be from the time that he escaped the Sarlacc pit, which we've seen up to hopefully around the time when he gets his armor back.
Yeah, and as Tyrus calls out, the Sand People explains how he got the staff that he was using in The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
So, overall, enjoyable. I look forward to this week's episode.
Yeah, that's tonight, right?
That would be
tomorrow.
Tonight at midnight or tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I guess I kind of stumbled upon it at midnight.
So I wanted to spend the last couple minutes talking about a trip I went on this last weekend. I went down to the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah.
To visit my in-laws. It's a New Year's tradition.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And it was amazing. I haven't been to the Bay Area since COVID started. So the last time I was there was in January of 2019. And the drive down was a little bit hectic. We had Snowmageddon up here in Northern Nevada. And so it luckily had ceased for our drive. However, it was interesting driving 80, the Sierra Drive into California. I had never seen the snow on the sides of the highway packed so high.
So high. Yeah.
Yeah. It almost felt like driving through a tunnel at points. It was very interesting. It was packed at least 7 feet high at different areas.
How did they? I guess if you just keep pushing it on top.
Yeah, exactly. But what was the most amazing was I had done this drive many, many times before from, you know, the Dublin Pleasanton area into the Hayward area through the 580 corridor, right, mm-hmm. that goes through Castro Valley. And I'd done this drive numerous times before. But on this drive, this last weekend, I saw something that I had never seen before, which was from Castro Valley, you can actually see the bay. You could see the water coming down 580 just before you hit the 280 interchange. You can see the water of the bay. It was amazing. The skies are so clear. The air seems so clean. We drove into San Francisco because we were heading to Colma to go to, what do you go to in Colma? A graveyard. And it was amazing. The skies were just so blue. We drove across the San Mateo Bridge at one point, and I could see as far north past the San Francisco Bridge, and I could see as far south past the Dumbarton Bridge. And there was no traffic. There was no traffic. I'll put it to you this way. There are many reasons I left California. Traffic, right. Traffic was being one of them.
Yeah.
One of the huge ones. If I lived there right now, that would not be playing into my mind at all. And yes, Tyrus, I did likely drive past your house because we drove down 5 to 580 into Livermore. So, I believe you're living out in the Tracy, Manteca area. Manteca area, is that right? So we were right out that way. But yeah, it was a lovely drive. No traffic. The worst traffic that we had was actually in the Sacramento Stockton area. There was a little bit there, but it wasn't too bad. So yeah. Overall, it was a great trip. Got to eat a lot of good food. I love my Korean barbecue meat. So
that was only temporary. Now the holidays are over, traffic back. Yeah.
Well, I guess I just had good timing. So I guess I'll only be coming to the Bay Area during the holidays. and as long as the sky stays that clear, because man, it was pretty. I'm not going to lie. Well,
that's the thing. It's like, the whole thing with the shutdowns, that was the first time I remember seeing a picture of India and then a new picture of India since when they were on lockdowns. And that was like the first time that air quality had actually been breathable in quite some time.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Oh, well, man. It's 2022, James. What's your resolution for this year?
You know what? My resolution was to I'm trying not to sweat the small stuff. If I have some control over it, that's on me. If I don't have any control over it, don't trip on it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think I will make sure that as soon as you break your resolution, I'll call you out on it on the show. Absolutely. Because I see some sweat in your pits right now, so I think you're sweating something.
No, that's just natural sweat. And we have the heat on too, so I turned that off. So it's a little warm in here.
Tyrus calls out the fact that it's been raining for about 2 weeks straight. It didn't rain while we were there, but I could tell that it had because all of the hills, the Altamont Pass,
were green.
Yeah, everything was green. All of the Hayward Hills, the Fremont Hills, everything was so green and lush. It was, man, it was.
It only happens when it rains.
Like, if I didn't know any better, and the only time I'd been to the Bay Area was just this last weekend, I would think it's a beautiful, amazing place.
But because you lived there at one point in time.
I know that it doesn't last long.
No, it'll last a few more weeks. Oh, hey, you know how cold it was here the other day? The other morning? In Las Vegas.
I'm going to guess it was 43 degrees.
29.
Wow, below freezing in Vegas.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. We were down to single digits up here a couple of nights.
Oof.
So, as I mentioned, we had Snowmageddon.
Yeah, I hadn't had to deal with that kind of low since I lived out there. Since I lived up there with you guys.
Yeah, I will tell you, it's interesting. We are dealing with wind right now. The freeway between Reno and Carson City, which is where I work, mm-hmm. is actually been closed off and on the last couple of days. So yesterday I left work. It took me normally to get from my office in Carson City to my home in Reno. It usually takes around 35 minutes, 40 minutes. Yesterday, almost 2 hours. This morning, same highway closed this morning. So you got to take these other routes and ways. And luckily I didn't have to go in today. I work from home on Tuesdays.
Can you take that that side pass through, or is that closed too?
As long as your vehicle is less than 9 feet tall, yes, you could have. But even that sideway was closed off and on because really? There have been over 80-mile-an-hour winds.
And the trucks aren't paying attention to that, are they?
There have been, over the last couple of days, there have been at least 5 overturned semis because they're not paying attention.
I know, well, not even that. It's just like they're supposed to be in certain lanes, and if they don't stay in that lane that they say stay in and they blow over, they can, I mean, even if they do stay in that lane, they could still, block traffic and,
mm-hmm.
carve a path of destruction, but... Yeah, no, that's crazy. Tells them if there's high winds, they're supposed to get off at some point.
But they don't listen. They don't read. So it's been an interesting couple weeks of weather. We've got more to come. It's still early in the season. So
yeah, 80 mile per hour winds, bro. It's so fast. It's so cold.
Yeah, Yeah, driving home last night was interesting. So
I'm glad you're safe, man.
Yes, yes, me too.
Because I remember I drove through there, you know, when I was coming back from errands, when we were out in Dayton, and those winds would kind of move my car a little bit, and that was not enjoyable. That was,
yeah,
scurry.
Yeah. Well, I think we covered just about everything we intended to cover today.
Yes, sir.
So I'm just going to wrap it up here and say Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Yeah.
I look forward to our next milestone, which will be hitting our 1-year anniversary in March of doing this podcast. So, you know, definitely we will we'll have to plan a special event for that, I think.
Yeah.
And of course, I always want to plug our trip to Disney World coming in 2023. April of 2023. So start making those plans if you're interested in catching up with us out there.
Steven, get on that.
Absolutely.
Brian, we already know you're on that. I think you're already on that. I don't remember, but yeah.
But yeah, we will we'll definitely be having a fun time at Disney World in 2023. We'll likely have some more fun events coming up this year. I know WWE is coming back to Vegas for Money in the Bank. So we may have to plan something for that. I have.
I plan on coming up for the Rib Cook-Off this year. So.
Ah, the Rib Cook-Off in September. Yes, that'll be a fun one where we'll likely get our own VIP table and, you know, hopefully invite some of y'all to join us. That's a Labor Day weekend, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So
Labor Day weekend. Yes.
So it's going to be a big year here at Fat and Black Connection. So, we hope that you can be a part of it and, join us and help us to grow this show.
Yes. Tell your friends.
Hide your kids. Hide your wives. But get them to at least listen to the show.
Yeah, my parents have finally started listening. My dad, I talked to my dad and he said, yeah, I've listened to some episodes. I got my mom, she's getting notifications now on YouTube. So
nice, good. So. It's always good when you get the folks on.
Yeah,
you just gotta be careful what you say sometimes.
Exactly.
So Brian asked if we're going to do Disneyland again before Disney World. And for me, the answer is likely no. Likely I'm going to hold off and save my load for Disney World.
Can't blow your wad early, huh?
Blah! So James, you got anything exciting coming up this year?
You know what? Not really. As of now, I'm still waiting on my bed. I've been sleeping on a mattress on the floor. I was supposed to have my bed in October. Then that got pushed back and they said, oh, we just got it in and it'll be delivered. And that was early last month. And then like a couple days before, oh, it's not ready yet. I was like, how is it not ready? And so, yeah, I'm still waiting on my bed. It should be here this month. And I don't know. But yeah, I mean, overall, I'm just looking forward to hopefully starting a new career. And I am a
new career.
Yeah. Yeah. I finally got my interview with TSA a few weeks back. So I'm just trying to.
Oh, you're going to be a TSA agent?
Yeah. TSO.
I mean, you clearly have the prerequisite to be a TSA agent.
You're stupid. So
I mean, what security background do you have? Please, please tell the audience, tell me, what security experience do you have that qualifies you to be a TSA agent?
Little to none, but
no. What security background, aside from bouncing at a club or something, what actual paid security experience do you have?
Zero.
To be protecting the American society from potential terrorists?
That's why I'm getting trained, bro. I got to get trained.
So what qualifies you?
I'm a big dude. And I have good people skills.
Uh-huh. And?
That's pretty much it as of now. Uh-oh. Watch out, America.
Well, if you need to sneak a gun on an airplane, go see James.
That won't happen. That definitely won't happen. I will be, actually, I don't even know. I mean, like I said, I don't know what I'll be doing. Cause I think, you know, there's a bunch of different stuff they have going on. There's stuff behind the scenes, there's stuff out in front of the people. So, you know, I'll kind of see where they kind of have me heading, but
James, are you getting your furniture through Ashley?
No, actually mine is through, Bob's Discount Furniture.
It's Bob's Discount Furniture, folks. Yeah, that's where James buys his furniture. Well, and he's complaining that he doesn't have it yet because Bob's Discount Furniture, you all know that great chain of Bob's Discount Furniture.
No, like when I went, like they have a couple places out here, you know, they have some, they're nationwide.
Oh no, I'm trying to plug them. Maybe they'll pick us up. Bob's Discount Furniture.
And you know, maybe they'll give me my bed. But yeah, like I've just the bed that I found was goes with the set that I bought before I moved out to Vegas, and so that's why I picked that bed. And yeah, just like I said, I'm waiting.
I have no words for you.
So you
don't get to complain about why it's taking so long when you buy your stuff from a place called Bob's Discount Furniture.
No, and the reason that I bought it there was the price, and then also that they said it was supposed to be delivered like not long after I moved in.
And you understand then, that Bob's Discount Furniture is about as reliable as Ashley Furniture.
See, the last time I dealt with Ashley, I didn't have any issue. Not for me, it was for a friend of mine, but we didn't have any issue getting the stuff delivered.
Oh, I have heard nothing but, even before Tyrus's stories, I have heard nothing but terrible things about Ashley Furniture.
I mean, no, don't get it wrong. I mean, don't get it twisted. Like, it was not an enjoyable experience, but we didn't have any problem. Like, because we had to go down to the showroom and all this other kind of stuff. But it wasn't like... That was that part of it was not enjoyable, but like the delivery process was pretty much spot on. So as far as I know, so.
Well, folks, if you live in the Vegas area and you want to wait to get some furniture, go down to Bob's Discount Furniture.
Or if you know someplace in Vegas that can give me what I want faster, no.
Let James know.
Oh, but anyways, but yeah.
Well, it's been real. It's been fun. But it hasn't been real fun.
No.
We'll see y'all real soon.
Next week.